Welcome to episode 451 of the Super Ultra Podcast Arcade for March 30th, 2024. I'm one of your hosts, Daniel Nicholson, and with me is my co-host, Dominic Stallworth. What's going on this week, Dominic?
Man, it's early in the week. What was it, Tuesday? It was Tuesday, right?
Was it Tuesday or Wednesday?
Or Wednesday? I forget, but during the Key Bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, just falling after the ship crashed into it. That was crazy. Because I that was a prior around 9 something when I was watching the news. I was watching CNN, and they were talking about something that was going on about the abortion rights or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they were talking to somebody, and then they had in the corner the bridge falling, like it was already down, of course. But I didn't know what it was. I was thinking it was some war zone or something, you know. And probably I was, is that Ukraine or something? I was like, what is that?
Depending on who you ask, Dominic, Baltimore is a war zone.
And the guy, at first I was thinking, like, are they talking about abortion stuff? And it's like, what does that have to do with this in this corner? And it was like, because it said breaking news right there. And I was like, I want to know what that is. So I just stood. I actually watched that segment. And then at the end, the guy said, oh, I also give my prayers to the people in Baltimore. I said, Baltimore? And then I turned to the local news.
The real news.
I was like, wait a minute. And then I saw, like, oh, my God. It's like, and then I'd seen the videos of how it just happened. Like, they lost control of the power and all. But just how it just came down, this, like, so easily, it seemed like. Like, you just crashed right into the that pillar, and then bam, it just, the whole middle just came down.
It really looks like, shows how precariously it was built. Like, there's only two places that it's being held up. Everything is being held up above it. So,
yeah.
You knock one of those supports out, and all the weight just comes down on it. Yeah, I was driving to work, and I saw the sign on 695 saying, Francis Scott Key Bridge closed. And I was like, huh, I'll have to check out why that is. That seems weird. And then I got to work, and we deal with the Port of Baltimore a lot. And I just, like, one of the first emails I saw come up said, the incident at the Key Bridge. And I was like, oh, incident. So I looked it up, and the first thing that popped up was that video. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, man. So that is bad. The last time I saw was yesterday that there were still, I think, two bodies they were looking for and that they couldn't go because of the weather. Mm-hmm. So, it's pretty sad on the people that were lost for the incident. And for that to even happen and just the effect on not only the people who were there, but now it's affecting just the port,
it's going to be absolutely crazy.
And like that, and also travel too, because now if there's congestion or like something goes wrong somewhere else, like in the tunnel or something like that, oh man, you got a long way to go around, or you're stuck
exactly,
basically, because now you don't have that bridge. It's just crazy. It's like, that's just something I just don't think about. I mean, I remember when that bridge fell. It was a huge bridge.
Pennsylvania?
And like, people are talking about the upkeep of bridges and stuff. This stuff can happen and stuff like that. But I just don't imagine a ship crash to it or something like that. I always think that ships move. They don't move super fast, so like they won't hit anything unless they are intentionally trying to. Unless it had to be something, I guess, like this, something just where the accident, controls, go wrong. It's like, what the hell? It's crazy. Other than that, it's been a big week in sports, man. March Madness is getting crazy. My bracket's all busted up. I'm pretty much done in the men's. The women's, I'm still good in. And surprisingly, you are still good in one of your brackets, which is a very surprise. So the men's, it's as of this podcast, I know UConn is playing. They're still winning. They're the favorite. They were the favorite from the beginning, yeah. And it looks like they're still in there. They're playing against Illinois. I'm praying, Jesus, that Illinois upset this team. Please upset this team. I like. I really need this. My life depends on it, Daniel. It depends on it.
No,
maybe my life. They're gonna take my legs, Daniel. If they don't do it, DraftKings gonna take my legs. But I'm like, what else? You got Purdue. They're still in it. They're actually in Elite Eight. As of this podcast, so they're playing against the who they're playing against? Damn, I forgot. I know North Carolina State is playing Duke in Elite Eight. Purdue is, I had to go look it up. I can't really remember that.
Purdue, Tennessee.
Oh, Tennessee. Okay. Yeah. So it's Tennessee. They're playing. All right. I had Tennessee going. I just had Purdue going. So, that should mean that might be a good game. Purdue, they lost in the first round last year as number one seed, so they have a chance to do what Virginia did. When Virginia lost in the first round to 16 seed, the next year they won a championship.
Yeah.
So can Purdue do that? Can they repeat that? It won't feel so bad. We're like, yeah, we lost 16, but next year we won a championship. That's what you have to do to make up for it. That's the only thing you can do, really. I feel like. So that should be interesting how that goes. The women's, South Carolina is still favorite, and they're still winning it. And Caitlin Clark, the best player in basketball, her team, Iowa, is still winning it. Like, that's really, like, the team that everybody looks at because of her. Her skills are just phenomenal. So that's basketball. So baseball has officially started, it's officially started already in Seoul. But now it's everywhere. Everybody has their opening day. As this podcast, Orioles won. They destroyed the Angels. We finally had an ace. We haven't had an ace since Mike Messina. That was almost 30 years ago. So we are talking about, that's been a long time since the Orioles had an ace.
Yeah.
And this guy had 11 strikeouts. I ain't never seen somebody, I ain't gonna say never, but I don't know when the last time I seen somebody had a double digit strikeouts.
Yeah.
As an Oriole, like, who was just cooking. And he gave it the one home run in the first to Trout, who is arguably one of the best baseball players overall, for many years now, but not counting Otani, who he came 6 years ago, but Trout was like the guy. But that was it. That was basically their offense. They did score two more runs later on. I didn't see that. I didn't watch it because I had actually dozed off during the game. The whole beginning, the whole popping circumstance and stuff, for the opening, the opening ceremonies and stuff for the opening day, that was nice. I liked it. I enjoyed it last year too, and this was good. Of course, they had a moment of silence for what happened at the Key Bridge. The mayor was there, the governor was there, Cal Ripken was there. He was a catcher for the first pitch.
Hmm.
The owner, he was in a booth doing the broadcast. He was in the. I was watching the television. I'm sure he was probably on the radio one too. Talking. He seemed like he comes off. Nice and whatever. He seems all right. That's all I can say. And what he talked about his history, also about baseball history and how he got with the Orioles and how he got this team and how he got those investors to get with them and things of that nature. Yeah, he was pretty good on camera. I like that. And he even joked and said, like, hey, so far my tenure, I'm undefeated, so I think I'm doing pretty good. it was a good day overall. It was a good day. It was cloudy. Luckily, it didn't rain. And, man, it was fun. It was fun watching that game and enjoying it. And, man, and just really looking forward to the season, man. Like to actually have high hopes for the Orioles, man. It feels so weird. It feels so weird to have this feeling. So this is what joy feels like.
Yeah.
This is what joy feels like. Okay, what else? Baseball. Well, the Otani stuff. they're still investigating. Baseball is actually investigating. So now, there was an interpreter guy who on Twitter that I saw somebody retweet that he said that he used to be an interpreter, that they do control a lot of what these guys of their daily life. They control a lot of their daily life stuff, like even finances, because of
that makes sense.
The language barrier and things of that nature. So he said that, yes, there is, he said there's a possibility this guy, he could have stole his money and done it. And of course some people were like told you so, especially people who were like afford Tawny's. I was like, hey man, y'all saying do it. I'm still skeptical though. I'm still skeptical because I'm just that guy. I mean, I'm just like, I'm just thinking like, man, I mean, that may be true, but I think at that point, man, you better start learning. I mean, I don't know, man. I just feel like that. Yeah. It's like, yeah, he, I don't know, man. I just feel like, yeah, I just feel like he just really just left it up to him for all that money. I don't know, man. I'm still skeptical on that. But anyway, but whatever. But for me, like I said, I don't really care though. Like even if he did do it, I don't care. Like whatever, how one way or another. Like if he plays, I'm not gonna be mad he's playing. Because I just feel like the integrity, the whole integrity of the game is gone, and that was before DraftKings was even around. So,
it was steroids, wasn't it, Dominic?
Well. Probably around there, but once advertisers got into this thing, and when the money started getting big, I think that's what it was done. It was done. It was like, oh, we making this much money? Yeah, I'm sorry. So if he did do it, I mean, if something happens to him, I'm not going to argue against it. I'm going to be like, hey, well, it happens. If he don't, and say, well, they can't prove anything, or maybe they could, and they say like, no, we don't want to because we want this guy to still keep playing. So he's going hot. I don't know. But I was like, this is all entertainment anyway. So whatever. But I don't discredit people for people who are really against it though. Like people who still feel that way. Like, hey, he should be punished. I don't know what he did so far. But yeah, if he did do something, I guess he should. Yeah, he should be punished though. I mean, I'm not going to deny that.
Yeah.
But you know, we'll see what happens. I just have a feeling that. Nothing's going to happen to him significantly. I think there's going to be, just going to put to the wayside. They're going to say this guy stole his money. But then if he stole his money, I mean, that's a serious crime. And like, I don't know if he want to take the fall for that. There's one thing to fall on the sword, man. But I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to prison.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know where that guy is now. But I'll probably be going somewhere where they can't get me.
It's fine. They promised him a white-collar prison. He's going to be playing pickleball all day.
And that's what I'm saying. Okay, say is this. Like, so if I done that, can I just go to a white-collar prison too? Because is it like a white-collar crime? I won't go to a regular prison, right?
No, only if you're doing it for him. You know, if you're doing it to protect him and you're just, you know, they'll get you like a plea deal or something set up. If you just do that crime, you're definitely going to jail because you started out poor, Dominic.
Oh, man. All right. So what else in sports is going on? I haven't been to the NBA. I know Wizards were on a 3-game winning streak. They had a chance for 4, but they lost in a close game. And then they lost to the Detroit Pistons, which, my mistake, I thought that was the second-to-last game of the season. Thing is... the way that Yahoo has their schedule set up, you got to click the button to go to the next month, and I didn't. So it was the second to last game of March that they played Detroit. But they still got like a single-digit games left, I think, now. So we're definitely getting close to playoff time. Well, not for the Wizards. Getting close for them to go back home. So they lost to the Detroit Pistons, who's the other worst team. But they're still technically, they're not the worst team, though. Like, in as far as standings go, though. So they still have more wins than the Pistons. So we still can finish out not the worst team. So hopefully they get back on track. And that is all I got. So you got any wrestling news?
WrestleMania is next weekend, and it's they've been doing a pretty good job of building the whole Rock and Roman versus Cody and Seth thing, and Seth and his match against Drew McIntyre. CM Punk was back for this last episode of Raw, and they had kind of a promo battle situation, because it's basically all building to Drew McIntyre taking the title off of Seth Rollins, most likely, and then eventually, once CM Punk is healed up, facing him. You know, Drew McIntyre's whole shtick lately has been, you know, shit talking CM Punk. So obviously that's going to be something that happens when he gets healed up. That should all be really good. I hope they give Drew McIntyre a chance to run with that belt. I mean, it'll probably be SummerSlam at the earliest that match actually happens. So that's a decent enough run. It's like 4 to 6 months or something like that. The Rock stuff is just awesome. You know, he beat the crap out of Cody Rhodes. You would send me that video on Twitter. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah. He's just going wild with it. He's not given a single care. And, you know, they're doing an interesting thing with the way they're presenting his stuff, especially on social media, because there's like this disconnect between like what the show is and then like what he's doing. Because like that video that you sent to me is like the show's off the air and he's still just kind of playing into it on his social media, because he's been doing half the stuff he's been doing just on social media, shit talking Cody Rhodes and his dog and his mom and all that. yeah, it's amusing. Yeah, so that should be interesting. I just want to see how The Rock actually stands up in the ring, if he's actually, you know, gonna be in ring shape or not, or if he's just gonna be looking tired and gassed by, you know, a minute in and he hasn't even tagged in yet. So we'll see how that goes, but WrestleMania should be fun. I'm a little disappointed that I'm not going, just because it's so close. But at the same time, I just feel like if I'm in the seats that I could barely afford, because they're, even the nosebleeds are expensive, like I wouldn't be able to see anything anyway. So like I'm probably better off sitting at home.
That's why you get binoculars.
Yeah, so I'll sit with my opera glasses, Dominic. yeah, so that you know, I like the idea of experiencing it, but much like when we went to PAX the one year, it's like the kind of reality of like dealing with all of these people is just like, okay, maybe this isn't really what I want to be doing. Although PAX just did happen again, PAX East, and I was kind of like, yeah, part of me kind of wants to go. Part of me wants to get like a booth so I don't have to like be out in the crowd and doing it, but like being there and like having people experience. I know at one point we were talking like, hey, we should like see if we can get a booth and then just like record a live podcast or something. I think that could be interesting. But anyway, so that's wrestling. AEW, I don't think there's really anything going on after, you know, already talking about.
I thought I thought we were going to become the number one podcast in the world.
Wait, are we not?
Yeah, like in the future.
Dominic, you've been lying to me. I thought we were. But all the charts and graphs that you showed me just were going up. I know they had the little red marker, but I just assumed that was a printing error. You know, like the hurricane chart from Donald Trump. Yeah, but that's what's going on with wrestling. It should be WrestleMania is again two nights, so Saturday and Sunday next week. And yeah, so won't really have anything to say until that's over, most likely, but should be a good time.
All right, that's cool. So what do we got? So now we go to what we've been watching. So what you been watching, man?
All right, so talking a little bit about how like I've been watching stuff in the mornings now that I've been trying to work out a little bit more, and I watched Roadhouse because I thought that was an appropriate show for training, even though all I'm doing is an elliptical, Dominic. But this is the new one. This is starring Jake Gyllenhaal and sort of Conor McGregor. He's in there. He's not really not really as big a part as they might really want you to think from the advertising that I've seen for this movie. It's on Amazon Prime, and it is presented commercial free. So like if you watch like a 15-second commercial up at the front of it, it's like, oh, you can watch the rest of it without commercials, which is nice. Like even coming back to it, you know, because I did it over like 3 days or something like that, I never once saw a commercial, which is nice since they switched to that stuff now. I didn't want to deal with that. It was not a good movie. It was a fun movie, but it's definitely not a good movie. I don't know that I've ever seen all of the original Roadhouse. I was telling you when you were talking about the Riff Tracks version of it, like maybe that's how I should go back and experience that. Cause it doesn't seem like it's a serious movie. Like it's, you know, obviously 80s action taken over the top. And I think that's kind of what they're trying for here. But it all just like Jake Gyllenhaal's performance is just so flat. Like he's trying to be this guy who was like uber violent in his UFC career and is now, you know, just basically like taking a chill pill. And he's been hired as a bouncer for this roadhouse down in like the Florida Keys, run by Jessica Williams. And, you know, he's like, I'm just going to hang out at this bar. And if some stuff pops off, which it does every night, apparently, because people just get drunk and rowdy every night at that bar and just start tossing their furniture around, then I'm going to step in and intervene. And he does. And then you find out like there's a larger plot as to why, you know, people are. I mean, that's the funny thing, though, is like there's this disconnect because it's like, OK, there's this like plot to where like there's a malicious thing happening as to why like there's so much trouble at this roadhouse. But at the same time, it just seems like a lot of people are also just getting drunk and starting fights. Like it seems like it's not all just like connected to this plot. And it's like, man, these people just like getting drunk and fighting, I guess.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I don't remember the plot from the first one, but I felt like that's what it was initially. But I mean, maybe there was a little more to it than that. But I don't know. There was a lot of fighting.
it seems so funny that like there's this plot, but also just like even if you solve this plot, you're still gonna have to deal with having a bouncer there because people are just getting drunk and rowdy every night, regardless.
Oh yeah.
Like I said, it was fun, but it's not good. Conor McGregor is just like chewing scenery. He's just there to be like a douchebag who's basically just trying to kill everybody. And yeah, it's not something that I'm like, man, this is 5 stars. But if you got some time and you're interested, it's fun. The fight scenes are pretty enjoyable. They do a good job of that. It reminded me a lot of like Fast Five and the Fast and Furious movies around that time when you were first starting to see like The Rock and Jason Statham introduced into that series and when they were having some pretty fun hand-to-hand combat stuff going on. So. Yeah, but the performances overall are just kind of, they fall pretty flat.
All right. So I guess we get to what we've been playing. So I'm going to go ahead first, since you've been talking for a while. So I played a lot of Dead Island 2 with my friend.
Nice.
We really been playing. He's been playing like by himself, so he was ahead of me, so he had to join my story. Like, well, join my game. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. I haven't played the other one in so long, so I can't even say like what are the exact improvements in this game are, to tell you the truth. So I can't really compare that, but I know I'm enjoying this game. I know the I finally got the point where I can have some guns. Because it's the bigger thing is the melee stuff, and you get some limited bullets, but the guns, they do help, and I like the customization you can do. And this, though, I really wish they would give you more slots to pick up weapons or something. Or maybe I'm just holding too many weapons. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But, yeah, it's been fun going through it with him. I feel like some of the... now, I will say this, like, the dialogue, which is supposed to be kind of funny, you know, kind of fall flat with me. Like, I'm not really... I'm, like, looking at it. I'm not really having... not really laughing. Like, I'm kind of chuckling at some points, but not really laughing. Like, and sometimes I just skip. Because especially my friend, he already played that part, so I said, like, you already saw this, right? So I just said, I'll just skip it, man. Because yeah. I'm like, some of this stuff, I feel like it goes a little too long. Because I was like, okay, let's speed up here. I just want to get to the plan, man. You know, life is too short. We got to keep going. We got to go. I say that's the only, really the downside is the plot is not too interesting to me. Well, not the plot. The plot is fine. I mean, it's a zombie apocalypse. That's what it is. The actual, like, dialogue with the characters and that nature, it's just nothing really sticks with me. It's nothing that really memorable or anything. I say that's really the downside to it. other than that, though, but gameplay-wise, I think it's really fun. I play some more Yakuza, 5, and now I'm playing with another character who he's going back to prison because he actually broke out prison in 4, but now he's going back to finish his sentence, I believe. I think it's like three years he's going to be in prison. And now you kind of dealing with that life in prison and of that nature. And I just got to a point where I believe, we just broke out. The warden got us out of prison because of there seemed to be some conspiracy going on here that they're trying to get me killed. And like, because I'm supposed to be able to get out for parole, but I couldn't. But the warden says there's something higher that's stopping him from doing that. And one of his superiors got killed because they went to question it. Say, like, hey, why is this guy to get out? And they kill him. So I was like, he's like, oh. And so he wants you to find out. He said, while you're out, please find out who's done this. Like, who's done this, stuff like that. So, and is this probably a connection to with the main character, Kiru, who you played in the first segment of what's going on? So, I guess I'm going to see, what's happening here. Because it's, right now, it looks like this. Well, the paper saying Majiba has been killed. That's the crazy guy with the eye patch. And he's the brother of the guy who I am playing as. So, I'm trying to find out the truth behind that, like who really killed him and something like that. And story. But I mean, this game, you know, even compared to like Metal Gear as far as long cutscenes, yes, this has long cutscenes. Like you be watching, I enjoy it. It makes sense. See, the whole thing with Metal Gear is that it just be people just talking, and I'm like, what the? But it's like, it's like, man, you could have just cut, like, some of this, man. He didn't have to go through all this stuff. Like, I don't know. Then this guy's going, like, his own little monologue in Metal Gear. But they're talking. Like, man, it's like, what the fuck, man? I said, don't just hurry up and, like, get to the point. But here, it's, I don't know. I just enjoy it more. But it's also a lot of game, too. So that's what makes the game really long. Because it's like, the cutscenes are, yes, the cutscenes are long. But it's not like it's not enough game. There's still a lot of game. So sometimes I'll be like, oh, I wish they kind of could edit this before I can play the game. Because it's going to be forever. It's going to be forever until I beat it. Enjoying that. Playing some more Persona 2. Just unlocked a new character. And, man, they really go... It's a little weird. Like, I like where they went with one of these characters' personas, but I think I remember people talking about it too, that it's like they didn't go far enough. Because it's a character who, from the outset, you're thinking he's gay. And that's what it is. It's like he's hiding he's in the closet because you're going to his mind. Because what you see, and when you go into the television, you're going to somebody's you're going to a world. Were of that person's of what they're trying to hide. They're trying to hide something they feel is negative or something, and say or something that they don't want to be there. They're saying that's not them. And with this person, you see him like he's like a tough guy. Somewhere we see him in here, you're in his bathhouse, and he all like kind of flaming basically. And I'm like, I was like, whoa, what's going on here? See, is this really going here? And I say, I was like, I didn't think it was going to go this direction. And I was like, oh, snap. We're going to have a guy who's, oh, his high, he's like a closet homosexual. And that's where you, and then I guess he's going to accept himself. But the ending of it, of that segment, it's almost like he's not a homosexual. He's just like things that people would consider to be something that's more womanly.
Oh, so like more
he
feminine.
Likes to do art. Yeah, it's like he likes to be he likes to do art, and he likes it's something else. I don't know, sewing or something like that. I don't know, but I'm thinking like what I said. But the whole bathhouse thing. I mean, why'd you go with that? Like, because that was an open door to say that this guy was a closet homosexual. Like that's you would open it up, and that was interesting. But now you made it because I looked online to see like so is he gay or not? That's what I'm asking. Some people say no, he's not gay. He just has these. Well, people would consider saying like a guy would be gay if he liked this stuff. He does. Yeah. He's not. Some people say he's not gay. There are some people say he's gay, but some people say, and that's why there was a controversy because like they said that they kind of went with this in the wrong. They kind of did this part a little wrong, they said. Like, that's what I feel. I almost feel like they just should have said he's gay. You know, I was like, because it, that's like a good little story you had there going. Or don't use that bathhouse thing scene. Just, you could have used, like, I don't know, some other location to make it that way. Because you really made it like, yeah, it was just weird. It was weird. So I was like, oh, I guess they couldn't really fully go there. Were they afraid to go there, or was that never their intention? Is that what it is? It just seemed like you. I was like, come on, you kind of
going to go there, but they got censored, Dominic.
I was about to say, look, yeah, I was like, look, you're in a, you got a, the freaking bathhouse thing is all freaking, you know, everybody associates that with gay. I mean, that's just what is always known. It's like people like all these men, because and what they were saying too, like, because you hear in the back and say, oh, you say you look really nice and stuff. I was like. So wait a minute. So like this doesn't make any sense. So I was like, whatever. But I mean that was interesting. It was really pretty interesting. I enjoyed it. Just the ending just got confusing. that's all. I was like, but anyway. I still like this game, but yeah, five is. It's the best, yeah. They really just done the overall game better. But I can see what steps were taken to even get to the point of five. But like I said, this is definitely closer to three. Also, I played a little bit of Diablo 4. That is officially on Game Pass. It's not on Game Pass Cloud Streaming for reasons I don't really specifically know. some people associate it with the Ubisoft thing, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But... I mean, the UK deal, the UK stuff, whatever, you know, happened over there. If you're doing it on PC Game Pass, you're doing it through the Battle.net app. And so it's not associated with achievements and stuff like that. Oh, so man. It's as if you just got it on Battle.net.
Yeah.
So that, and that's kind of disappointing.
That's very disappointing.
I was like, oh, so... yeah, you have to have Battle.net. So if you don't have Battle.net, you're going to have to download it to have it, which I haven't activated Battle.net forever.
Yeah.
I used the excuse of, like, I was on boycott because of something that happened over Overwatch, which I don't remember what happened. So that just tells you that was bullshit. That's not the reason why I didn't have Battle.net. I had to go freaking re-download that and... then install it, which it was a little wonky, but I got there. I played a little bit, but then it started disconnecting me while I was playing because this game is always online. So even if I was playing the beginning part, which is single player, you're just starting, I got disconnected a few times. I was just thinking like, okay, maybe because of it just started here and they probably had some problems, a lot of people logging in. I don't know. It could be, you know, service stuff happening now. And then plus they did a patch later on. I was reading that they usually do patches at around 10 a.m. Pacific time because it wasn't on Xbox console yet. So I was like, oh, so, okay, maybe it'd be better. So I went up there, and then I had to hit to do the update, and that's when things just went out of whack. It kept saying, like, it want to update, and then I was like, oh, maybe something's wrong. I may have to uninstall it and install it again. I tried to do that, and then it was thinking I still had the game installed. It was still trying to update when I deleted it already, and then when they finally recognized I don't have it, it wouldn't install. I said, oh, we ran to a problem, and something. It was just bad, and I was looking online, I see other people had problems, and people had problems with this like years ago. I mean, with this, like with other games and stuff like that, because that's what it came up first. I was like, oh, so this is like a known thing, and I guess they just never fucking fixed it because it's been years. And so I eventually just restarted my computer. I had to start a few times. The first time I started, it still didn't work, but then the second time I did it worked. So yeah, finally I got it up there. I didn't play it though. I didn't play it. I was like, oh, well, now I don't even care about playing it right now. So I just got it up here. But yeah, so I'll play some more of that. I mean, I'm happy it's there. I want to know when they're gonna start putting more of these games out, man. And I do want them on the cloud. Like, I really prefer it. Like, I want these games on the cloud too. And I want to have to keep downloading all these games, you know, on my PC.
Yeah.
Especially since my PC's older. I mean, the older games, yeah, that's fine. But if I don't have to download it, then I just want to take up no space. Mm-hmm. So I would rather play it through the cloud. And I hope Xbox, I heard that they're getting something, I heard they're doing a test of having mouse and keyboard on the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
So they're testing that out, and I read somewhere. So that could be interesting. I'm curious to see how that goes, and where that goes for them. And last but not least, MLB The Show 24. Oh yeah, there are actually a lot more features than I suggested, like last podcast of this game. But they have not advertised it. At least they haven't advertised it enough where I see it and I follow them. So you can play as a woman in the MyPlayer, in their version of MyPlayer, which is Road to the Show.
That's pretty cool.
And it's a story with it. Like they even like follow you and your friend. You have a friend who's also a woman. So you got the two first females in Major League Baseball who got drafted in Major League Baseball. So you can still choose like what team you prefer to be on. You go through, or you also go through the what they call, I don't know if they call it the combine for them. Maybe they do call it the combine for them too. But like just to show your stuff, you know, to the scouts, which I never did in the men's in previous years. So I don't know if they implement it in the men's also, but I know this is the first time I've ever seen it. They didn't do it last year. So this is new. So I went through that. Your agent asks you what team you prefer to be on, or and things of that nature. I could have picked the Orioles, but I said, nah, I was going to leave it. I said, two out of the best team picks me. I'm going to kind of keep, you know, like real, like, hey, where I am, wherever team picks me. I got picked by the Chicago White Sox. I forgot what team she got picked on, but I know our double A teams played against each other, and they even have cutscenes like of real reporters of like MLB Network. MLB Network come on, like there's some real reporters of MLB Network would be there. And they be talking about it like you got like this is real, like this is all, oh, this is the first woman to ever play in the game, and they're about to play against each other and things of that nature. And then they tell you like, oh, you finally, this woman made it to the top prospects in the MLB. I said, oh, they finally moved up to AAA, and I did get it to, she finally moved up to the Major League Baseball. It's neat. I mean, so far I like it. It's pretty cool that they actually do this and work. And I'm just surprised that they didn't like say like that was like one of their big features. Say, oh no. like the big feature last year was the Negro League right. stuff, which is in this one too. I just felt like they would have done something like that. You know, saying, hey, now you can so. Play
it. Did all that work to put that together, yeah.
Were they scared of the those Twitter guys who don't like women and stuff like that? Or they were scared probably, of them, like, yeah. Say, oh, you put women in our games, blah, 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 blah.
Ruined America's game.
They say, yeah, you wokeness, the wokeness have come to yep. the man would be the show.
DIAMLB or whatever.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a pretty good feature. So yeah, yeah, my character is Jackie Brown, so that's why I named her, of course. it's cool. I mean, I like it. So now I'm in finally the major league. So I'll be playing. I'm a pitcher, and I'm curious if you pick to be like a position player, will they have make your friend the pitcher? Because that's what it is. She's a position player because they said, oh, she's going to go against her friend. Like, she has to go a pinch against right. her. So I wonder, like, oh, is it the vice versa for if other round? I'm not sure. But yeah, that's a neat feature. So what you been playing, man?
All right, so I played the Stellar Blade demo. That is the, action-adventure, Bayonetta, Devil May Cry-esque game. And so far it's fine. I wasn't impressed with it. Like, it looks nice visually. It's definitely going for a very sexy look though, Dominic. I think we were talking last week about like the costumes that they have for the playable character, and they are just like the skin tightest of things. They're definitely going for that. There's an option in the game for if you want a short ponytail or a long ponytail. And I believe the implications of the short ponytail are so that you can look better at her butt.
That's very kind of them. That's very kind of them to do that.
Yeah. You beat the game and you unlock bald head so you can just see everything. Yeah, like what I don't like about it and what I think I typically really like about action games like this, the like more stylized action games, are like a dodge. The dodge in this game isn't very like over the top. It's almost like, oh, I'm just stumbling this way or I'm stumbling that way. Now you can get like a perfect dodge if you hit it at the right point, and then it's a little more of a flourish. But like in just like basic combat scenarios, it very much feels like ineffective. And for me, that makes it less fun. It makes it less like over the top action, like a Devil May Cry, like a Bayonetta. Now, that was just the demo. After you beat the demo, they show like a quick sizzle reel, and you know, she ends up with a gun, so that could, you know, give you more ability to do like range attacks and stuff like that to increase combos. It doesn't seem like they're necessarily like focusing on the combo aspect of it. But for me, if I'm dealing with like groups of enemies, I just like the fluidity of the combat to be higher like that. It also gives me very much like Nier Automata vibes. But I think that's partly just because you're playing as a female character and she seems like almost overly sexualized. Although Nier feels like...
No, she's not overly. It's just right.
Just well, it's trying to tell like,
oh, it's not enough. Story. Oh, it's not enough.
Yeah. Nier just feels like it's doing kind of a little more heavy lifting. This, it's very much just like, yeah, you're a soldier kind of person, and you're killing these bad, weird-looking enemies. They're all like these gaping jaws, and they all look very gross and disgusting. It seems fine. This is a game that, like, if it came out on Xbox and came to Game Pass one day, I would maybe give it a little more of a shot, but it's definitely not something I'd be going out and looking to spend $70 on. But
I think it's a good game for your daughter, Daniel. I mean, I think it's definitely like pro woman.
I mean, it's very empowering. Yes. I she would get freaked out by the enemies. They're very weird looking. But yeah, that's kind of really all I've been playing.
Hold on real quick.
Yep.
I'm back.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I did also play a very little bit of the Prince of Persia Lost Crown. Not really much to say about that, but it does kind of lead to conversation we're going to have a little bit later. But yeah, I finally got the bow and arrow in that game. I mean, that's very early, but in the demo, they kind of overkit you with where you are in the game. So to finally get like one of the upgrades is nice, but I think that's what I'm going to be playing mostly going forward until I get through that.
All right. So I guess we take a quick break. When we get back, we get to the flashback segment.
All right.
And we're back. So now we're flashbacking to 2014. All right. This is a new month. Really? I mean, by the time you get this podcast, it probably will be a new month, but we have finished off March games last week, so all we can have for this week is to do magazine covers. So we're doing magazine covers for the month of April, and 2014 in April, we had Xbox Magazine, and they had Murdered Soul Suspect on the front here. This game was interesting to me because it kind of reminded me of like an LA Noir kind of, you know, detective kind of thing, mm-hmm. And then it was like a whole like you being a ghost, and so it had some of that what's the word I'm looking for, Dad? Poltergeist kind of stuff going on here. It seemed pretty cool. I think when it finally came out, it got rated just all right. Like, it didn't get rated as great as I thought it would be.
It was a solid 7.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's a game I just forgot about, honestly, because I think I would have tried it out. I think I would have tried it out one day, but I never did. I know. I think there was a demo. I think I played a little bit of that, and you played it. You played some too, right?
Yeah, I played a little bit of it too.
So, what do you think of what you played?
I was not impressed. It was pretty mediocre.
Yeah.
And looking at the cover, seeing it called an Xbox One stunner is pretty amusing.
So it's to let you catch your own killer from beyond the grave. And also, 10 Xbox games you'll never play and why. And plus Inside Xbox Live.
One of them is Murdered Soul Suspect.
Inside Xbox Live, Beat the Man Who Keeps It All Running. And Lords of Shadow 2, Castlevania Saves Its Best Chapter for Last. That's a lie. Saints Row 4, How the Open World Shooter Almost Didn't Happen. And that was the last great Saints Row game. Last great or good.
You got a couple more chances.
And free Xbox games. Free Xbox games? Oh, actually, that's a question mark. I gotta say it like that. Yeah, bring my voice up. The best and worst of the bunch.
You're gonna show me piracy.
What else we got here? We got... Okay. Is that it? Fable Anniversary up here. Does the classic RPG remake hold up? You never played it, and you're supposed to be a big Fable fan, so I am questioning that. Evolved, Left 4 Dead, and the man's hat in the way, so I can't see what I was just going to say. Yep. And
why do they do that? Like, why do you put things on the cover that you're purposely going to obscure? Like, that makes no sense.
It don't. It's like...
Also, he's a ghost. You should make his hat slightly more transparent, and then you can read it.
Well, technically, it's transparent for the actual picture he's in. Just not for that graphic.
They just didn't want to go to the extra work of adding another layer and then, like, turning down the opacity. Like, I get it sometimes, but, like, also, come on, guys.
The best and worst of the bunch of those free games. Okay. All right. So that's it for Xbox Magazine. And now we're going to Edge Magazine 2014. And we got Watch Dogs in the front here.
Yeah.
Got the little skull logo. I guess it's like the virus saying like, hey, we got you or something like that. All right. So the
I think it's funny because this has like a very like Watch Dogs 2 vibe.
Yeah, it really does. I got the feeling of it. Yeah, it does. The Glorious Return of Wolfenstein on the top here. Oh, man. And
that was true.
Yeah, it was. And Reality Check, the Oculus Rift games that reinvent play. And exclusive, why Ubisoft postponed the next generation.
They literally only had the game that the only game that people were like, wow, this looks next gen.
And what happens when Kickstarter goes wrong? Yeah, what happens, Daniel?
I lose my money. That's what happens. Let me tell you. That's why I don't use Kickstarter as much anymore.
Reviews, Dark Souls 2, Thief, Yoshi's New Island, Strider, Strike Vector, EDF, 2025, and TKX. You know what TKX is?
I don't
actually,
know.
No, it's TKK. Wait, it's TXK. Familiar. I'm sorry. TXK.
TXK.
Tetris Kinetic.
Oh, it's a Jeff Minter thing. We talked about Jeff Minter, I think, last week about like how there's a documentary series style game out for him. And that's one of his games. So it's like a tunnel shooter kind of thing.
All right. So what we have here, we got Gaming Forward. They got a double cover issue of Batman Arkham Knight, man. This is very anticipated because this is after Arkham City, which is the probably arguably the best of the Batman Arkham games at the time. I mean,
yeah, and then they stepped away with the Origins.
Yeah, I mean, Origins is another company. So yes, you know.
But that's what I mean is this was Rocksteady's return to the universe. So like everybody was excited.
Yeah, and now they say, oh, you can actually drive the Batmobile. And I was like, oh, okay, that's maybe nice. Even though I didn't really care about driving the Batmobile. I mean, I was more, I just want to be Batman. I mean, I just want to do the stuff. Yeah.
Let me fly
exactly around. But yeah, I was really anticipating this. I was like, oh, shucks, man, Batman. But actually, like I was and wasn't, because I was turned off with Arkham City because of what they did to the Riddler trophies. That was my gripe with the game. Mm-hmm. That was my gripe with the game because I was like, they made it just like a fetch quest. And I was like, it's supposed to be I solve some riddles. So why did they do this? So actually, now that I remember it, I wasn't as high. I mean, I was only, we looking at it like to say like, oh, graphically, like, hey, it looks amazing and shit like that. But I wasn't as high as I was as for Arkham when I was waiting for Arkham City to come out. Also I didn't have the new console, so I was like, I have to wait to get this game. I was hoping like by the time this game came out I would have the new consoles. Let me see this other cover. Okay, I got the cover right now. I got the cover with the Batman with the car. What's the other cover here?
Looking strong.
And this one, well, I guess both of them had the car. And this one, he's pounding the ground in this pose, you know, that all superheroes do. And they hug to the ground. And, like, that's when he zoops up. That's when he shoots out from the car. And then he comes down and then he intimidates you. It's like, oh, my God, it's Batman. But this game, man, this game was actually pretty damn good. It was actually pretty good. And actually did Riddler better than the city one. The driving stuff, I didn't really care much about. It wasn't horrible, but I just... If it wasn't there, I would have been okay. Like, if it wasn't there. I do wish that the city was more populated. Like, the excuse of city was that because it was a prison area. I mean, that was... So people weren't living there. It was just prisoners.
Right, makes
this
sense.
This one, it's because they evacuated. And so I was like, always fucking excuse. That's all. And I was like, man, there's some good. At least that's a plot point to make sense. But it's like, damn, I'm waiting for like a Batman game where I can actually be in the city when the city is alive, and I'm going around doing shit. Now, technically, Gotham Knights is that is a live city, but it's actually not that popular. I mean, it's populated, but it's not.
That's because everybody's inside mourning the death of Batman.
It's just not as alive as you think of which is supposed to be the largest city in the world as far as the comic books go. So it's like, oh man, this city sure is dead at night. I mean, compared to like New York, this city's pretty dead.
There's no nightlife here.
This city is like Baltimore down, like Baltimore City at very night, which is pretty dead. And it was like, I was like, yeah. But anyway, this was huge. Like people really was looking forward to this game. And like it being totally new gen. Like, this was not on the previous consoles. This was going to be Xbox One and PS4. All right. So, that is it for 2014. So, now we're going back 20 years to 2004 to the unofficial PlayStation magazine. But it is the best-selling PS2 magazine, as it says right here.
Of course.
And they have Sub-Zero on the front, man. And with his little, he got a little fur up here, man. What the hell?
Yep.
So,
he was classing it up then.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat Deception.
This was like Emperor. Yeah, Emperor Sub-Zero.
Page first look at the wildest MK ever. Okay, so it was Diddy Alliance. Was Deception after that, or that was the third one? What is it?
Honestly, I can never remember where Deception falls. I think it is. It's definitely after Deadly Alliance.
Well, yeah, definitely. Deadly Alliance is the first of the new ones.
Let's see. You got series. Deadly Alliance Tournament Edition, which is just Deadly Alliance. And then Deception, yeah. Because then there was Armageddon. That was the third one.
Okay, Armageddon is the third one. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Before we get into like MK versus DC Universe.
All right, cool. So this is the sequel to Diddy Alliance. Deception. Yeah, honestly, I have no idea how people felt about this game because I stopped at the Diddy Alliance. I just didn't bother with the Mortal Kombat games, really. I barely played Diddy Alliance. I think I ended up selling that game. And I kind of mad at myself for doing that and then I gave it more of a chance. Because now I'm kind of curious to play that game again. But I wish it was like up-res version of it or something.
Seems like it fared somewhat well. Like, it's not great, but it's 81 on PS2 and Xbox and 77 on GameCube. Okay.
All right, so I'm going to buy the GameCube went down. I wonder why that was lower. But anyway, probably Nintendo.
Controller, probably.
Yeah, or Nintendo Power. Maybe they only have their standards. So, you know. What they got here? 10-page first look. The wildest MK ever, like I said. Death Traps. Adventure Mode. Multi-level arenas. Noob. Ermac. And more. And here we go. Pierce Brosnan. Bond 007, Everything or Nothing. It's rated now, Daniel.
10 out of 10.
And then you have Seven Samurai. I think this is 20XX. Is that what it is supposed to be? I forget. I don't know.
That sounds
I see it up here. It's very small, though. Title up top. Then we have The Getaway 2, first amazing look. So the sequel to The Getaway is coming. I forgot they had a part 2.
I was going to say, were you ever a Getaway person?
I never played the game. I think when I saw it, like, I got a 7 or something in Game Informer, that was bad for me as a kid, Daniel, because I was like, now I have to buy my own games. So I was like, I only can take 8.5s or over, man. 8.8. Hitman Contracts. Exclusive screens. Time Splitters 3, first stunning news. And that's my favorite Time Splitters. I like 3. And that's when it went away, though. When they finally actually got a real story mode. All right. So now we're looking at Xbox Magazine in 2004. And we got StarCraft Ghost on the front. There she is in her anime look. And... Then you have, I can't even read what it says because of the freaking address thing is all out of the way, but so forget it. Then we got in the corner up here, Star Wars Public Commando. Yes, that was a great game. Everything you need to know about the Star Wars shooter inside. It does not, controls doesn't hold up for me. Unless you're playing on PC, then I guess it's fine. But playing it on Xbox, man, it felt weird. Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell, Pandora Tomorrow, massive multiplayer strategies for every map. Also, Chronicles of Riddick only on Xbox. The best looking game we ever seen. And it was good looking at the time.
It was amazing at the time, yeah.
And Mercenaries, Iron Mercenaries, hijack a helicopter, call an airstrike, destroy absolutely everything. Yes, that was fun. Mercenaries was a fun game.
I was going to say, Mercenaries was felt huge at yeah. the time.
And then when the last one was the Mercenaries, I forgot what it was called, the one that came on 360 and PS3. Because I just remember that commercial.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no, he didn't.
Playground of Destruction, was that the one? No, that's the original one. Darn it. What is... No, platform. Yeah. All right, show me the series. Oh, were there really only two Mercenaries games?
Oh, so there's Mercenaries 2 then.
There were like three. Yeah, Mercenaries 2 World in Flames is the PS3, Xbox 360.
Yeah, they really just milked that. I mean, like that one game, forever, I guess because they said, oh, we're not going to make any more, so we're just going to try to get as much as they got out of this.
EA, that makes so much sense. Man,
EA, another franchise, just go on. So that's it for PlayStation or the unofficial PlayStation magazine. I mean, no, I'm sorry, Xbox magazine. And now we're going to the official PlayStation magazine. We got Sly Cooper, Band of Thieves. This is Sly 2, the sequel to Sly Cooper, the Thievinous Raccoonus. I was never a Sly guy because I heard it was stealth, and stealth is not my thing.
Mm.
I like to go just hit people. So that was the reason I never got into it. But thing is, it was rated pretty good. The series was a rated pretty good series. Mm-hmm. What else we got up here? We got Killzone, the best looking shooter on PS2, period. Oh, this is the first Killzone. God damn. The Halo killer. here we got Hitman Contracts. Agent 47 is back in business. Driver with three. Driver 3. Uh-huh. Run the Gauntlet with Michael Madsen. Exclusive Rainbow Six 3, brand new screens. You got Astro Boy over here. Astro Boy, I never understood why they get that man a shirt, the boy a shirt. Like, the kid could just wear normal clothes. Japan's biggest hero is reborn in the USA. And Samurai Jack, Sega brings Shishimi sci-fi to PlayStation 2. And then up here, I see The Getaway 2. And you got the Underground PS2 demos, which was always cool. You get this magazine.
Hell yeah.
All right. So, what else we have here? Where we at here?
Game Informer? Yeah.
And, oh man, this is an awesome cover. I had this magazine. This is Jack and Daxter right here, man. Jack and Daxter and Ratchet and Clank. Both games, two exclusive games for PlayStation. And two, you know, like character-driven games. Both these games, man, I like them. This was 3. This is actually Jack 3 and Ratchet and Clank. Up Your Arsenal, I think it was.
That sounds 3. Right. Yeah.
And they were awesome. Jack 3 was actually pretty good. I did like it overall better than Jack 2.
Mm.
But I played Jack 2 more because. Because I replaying the game, I just never because I think with the HD collection, I think I played some more Jack 2 also, and I just stopped and I went to 3, and I do want to go back to 3. It was a time just like Ratchet and Clank. I want to go back to play those games, man. But it's just, man, you have so much time to play these games. This thing, like, they had 3 of those games on that console. Man, this was the time where you can get like multiple games on these this console generations, man.
Yep.
Now
when they didn't cost $10 million and
yeah, they also didn't cost as much.
Take 20 years to make. Now I don't know about
crunch.
Yeah.
Maybe you could say there was a whole lot of crunch then, but I think it relatively was, but I don't think it was. But also, I don't think still think it wouldn't take as long too.
Yeah, I don't think that was the sole reason. I think they also just had smaller budgets and shorter time frames.
Yeah. But they still creator with them. So you can still do that. You don't need to make everything doesn't need to be Grand Theft Auto.
No.
I mean, and that's if you think about it, think about some of these games. Like, some of these games would probably be Game of the Year that came out years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, graphically they wouldn't be the same, but the scope of these games, some of these games.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That there were probably games of years. It's like everybody just tried to make that huge scope game, like that huge type of Grand Theft Auto game, and you don't have to. Let's say Sony's Fab Four Return, hands on the next game starring Ratchet, Jack, and their hilarious sidekicks. And then you got the old PlayStation guys out here. Daniel, Crash Bandicoot, Twist Sanity.
I do love that Crash is on there too. Like, what about me?
We were the guys. We were the guys. But nope. Universal took y'all away. First look at MechAssault 2 up here. And let's see, a glimpse at Halo 2 multiplayer. And that was, man, that was beginning of something big. Yeah. All right. So what else we have here? That's it. That's it for 2004. So now we go back 30 years. We got a couple for 1994. We got Nintendo Power here with Ken Griffey.
Oh, yeah.
Getting ready for baseball season, baby. For Ken Griffey Jr., Major League Baseball. I played this game a lot over a friend's house, man. And I was always jealous because I had that old, I forgot what it was called. I talked about it on here before, yeah. That old Genesis game. And Tommy then he Lasorda's had this good looking. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's what it was. Tom Lasorda's Baseball. And then he had this very colorful game with real baseball. I think they had real baseball teams in this compared to mine. So. My game just had ball, like, for Baltimore. but they didn't say Orioles. Yeah. But I was like, man, this game is good. It was faster and stuff. I said, man, this is good, man. And I was like, man, I wish I had a game like this on Genesis. But then again, I didn't. Thomas Hort was the old ass game. I didn't get another baseball game. But this was huge. Ken Griffey was, man, he was the man.
Oh, yeah.
He was like the guy for baseball. I mean, he was the Jordan for baseball, basically, man. That's what he was, man. He was cool. You got the kids' greatest hit. You got Star Trek, the Next Generation game in here. For the Super Nintendo. I don't know much about that game.
Probably bad.
I don't know. Yeah, ask some Trekkies. Ask the Trekkies how it was today. All right. So that's it for Nintendo Power. So now we're going to Game Pro. We got the Incredible Hulk, and it's on Genesis, Super Nintendo, and Game. So I don't know if they mean Game Boy. I have no idea. I'm just going to say maybe. But I don't know this game. I don't know about the Incredible Hulk game. I never played it. Have I seen it? I don't remember seeing it. Do you remember this game?
Not at all.
Yeah. See, I don't remember this game at all. And, because I didn't even think there was, I didn't know it was a credible, like an actual game with just him. So that's due to me. Actually, you know, let me look it up right now. I mean, it looks good. I don't know if it plays good, but he's doing Hulk stuff. I look at the Sega Genesis one. Does the Super Nintendo one look any different?
Well, no. Let's see. SNES.
It looks blurrier.
How dare you?
The Sega Genesis one plays faster.
Oh, the Super higher Nintendo frame one. Rate, huh?
Yes. That's what it was with Genesis, though.
Yeah.
Like, Nintendo would have better colors or something like that, and Genesis would be faster. And that's what I kind of feel with this.
I feel like we're missing the days when games were so simple that, like, all you really had to do was change the sprites, and the gameplay was mostly the same. You know, obviously there were nuances that make a Super Mario World better than, like, most other platformers of that time.
Except for Sonic, yes.
Except for, yeah, okay. But, like, even the, like, mediocre ones were, like, all right. But now we just get, like, this licensed stuff, which mostly now just is a phone game. Like, it's not even really on anything else. And it's like, yeah. This is what's going on here.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
I'm looking at you, Bluey game.
They got a Hulk game, and then I just saw, like, the Wolverine game. And then that I kind of remember seeing. It's like just these platform games just based on these characters, and like they just come out. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know how many people worked on this and stuff like that. Like, man, it's just amazing how they just did that. Yeah. Now, yes, just ton of games, but they're, I mean, it's just so many games that you can't really, like, look at. But these are, like, from big companies, though. Like, they're all from, like, independent studios, those games. And, like, this is all... These were, like, big companies just putting out games. They're just putting them out. All right. So, where are we at here? Where am I? Oh, I'm still looking at the Game Girl. Yeah. All right. So, we got here, they got a strategy guide for Sonic the Hedgehog 3. They got reviews for Escape from Monster Manor. I don't know what that is. Is that like a playoff of, what's that, Maniac Mansion or something? What the hell? Rocko's Modern Life game.
Heck yeah. Another, I think some I rented that.
Games. Tetris 2. Star Trek The Next Generation. Jurassic Park. Dragon's Lair. Sketchin and more. What the hell is Sketchin?
Maybe like a skateboarding kind of game?
Yeah, it does sound something like that. Winter Consumer Electronics Show, Showstoppers. Okay. Tomcat Alley, Super Metroid, Virtual Racing, Tempest 2000, Beavis and Butthead, Wario Land, Super Mario, Land 3, and more.
That Escape from Monster Manor looks like Wolfenstein or Doom. Like it's a 3D shooter, for 3DO.
Don't read this section, Lang Pro. Oh yeah, it is probably April Fool's stuff, right?
Yeah.
So wait, that's what usually Game Informer has. They have a thing they called it. I forgot what it was called. There was something before they do April Fool's magazines. The Genesis CDX. Oh yes, I remember this. The portable CD system. Oh wait a minute. Actually, I don't remember the portable one. Never mind. I take that back. I don't know what the fuck this is. and that's it. All right. So that's it for the flashback segment. So I guess we take a quick break. When we get back, we get to the gaming news.
All right.
And we're back. So let's get to the gaming news. What we got, Dan?
All right, Dominic. We've discussed it over the past couple of weeks, but it is now official. Gearbox has been sold by Embracer to 2K. To the tune of $460 million. I mean, I don't know if I was ever expecting Gearbox to just, you know, go independent like some of the other ones we've seen recently, but this kind of makes perfect sense. 2K has always been publishing their titles, and, you know, it doesn't hurt 2K's portfolio to throw Borderlands in there, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. Borderlands or Duke Nukem Forever.
Doesn't hurt. Yeah. So,
but yeah.
So it sounds like they're also working on a new Borderlands game. Is that something you want, Dominic, or would you prefer like another Tiny Tina's like fantasy style game or just something completely different?
I still gotta finish that game. Shit, I ain't gonna finish that. So another Borderlands game, I wouldn't mind it. I didn't even play all of 3. I mean, I played all the main story in 3. Mm. I didn't get none of the DLC.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed in that one because it didn't feel like a huge upgrade from the previous ones.
Right.
And that was the only one new Borderlands game that came out on last gen.
Yeah. Maybe they'll do Borderlands the movie, the game.
I forgot the movie. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. But... Yeah, I don't know.
I'm glad to see them separate from Embracer. I mean, I don't know that 2K's, you know, but they've had a long partnership with them. And hopefully, you know, they'll be more productive under them than they
were. I just want to know, can they evolve? Like, what can they do to evolve it, Borderlands? I mean, yeah. I still want it, but something, you know, that feels like, it's more than... What it was, too, at the same time, you know?
Yeah. All right, Dominic, speaking of evolving past to where you are, it sounds like Larian is done with Baldur's Gate 3. They're moving on to their own thing, and it sounds like they're not really going to do another Baldur's Gate, or at least for now. A lot of speculation... around this kind of conversation is that they basically don't want to work with Wizards of the Coast anymore. They are the holders of D D&D, so they're licensing through them. And basically Wizards of the Coast is kind of a shit show right now. So,
but what, like, for what reason? Like, what they do?
I forget what stuff came out, but I think they laid off a whole bunch of people. I mean, not that that's any, you know, anything new for the games industry or related industries or any industry really. But there was some other stuff that I can't remember though. So I don't want to speak out of turn if I don't exactly know. So yeah, is there something that you would like to see them do? Is it, I mean, they've already kind of done their own thing in a fantasy realm. Would you want them to continue down that path? Or, people I've talked to have suggested even like if they were to license something else, doing like an X-Men style game in a similar like vein of, you know, action RPG, that what? Could be cool.
Them do that?
I mean, worth exploring.
What else? I don't mind that, but that's just X-Men Legends then.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I guess that's cool to do. I mean, but I don't know if the people who liked Baldur's Gate or even the previous properties are they into that. I mean, I wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
That, but I don't know.
I mean, from sales, it seems like the Baldur's Gate 3 crowd is pretty expansive. So I'm sure there's some overlap there.
I guess.
Although at the same time, you clearly can't just stick Marvel on anything and expect it to sell. I mean, just look at the 4-axis games.
X-Men. I mean, like X-Men 11 or Marvel Alliance, Ultimate Alliance stuff. Like, I like those games, but then again, they weren't action. Really,
they
were RPG. This was RPG. You didn't hit X to hit people. You hit the button that you told them what to do, and they did it.
Right, gotcha.
So those games were action. So it'll basically be like it'll be
more literally like Diablo style, right?
Yeah. So this would be more of like a real RPG with Marvel. I mean, I guess, but I personally wouldn't care.
Yeah.
I would want something new, honestly.
Yeah, I think we're getting to like peak saturation with Marvel already with all the announced games.
I'm like, damn. I mean, come on. I was like, that's what I'm saying. I don't need that.
All movies are Marvel movies right now. Well, were, and now we don't want all video games to be Marvel video games. I just wonder what they could do. I mean, they've already done the fantasy thing on their own before. They could do
something futuristic. I mean, if they're doing something, okay, they did something
sci-fi stuff.
Do some sci-fi. They could do like an RPG, like a strong RPG sci-fi with basically those mechanics.
Just and Mass Effect lunch.
I mean, there will be another Warhammer game, and this would be like the best Warhammer game. they do RPG. I mean, cause that's still, you know, that's the Dungeons and Dragons kind of thing.
Yeah,
just they have their own rule sets and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope it takes me
by surprise. Like more than anything, that's what I want these game studios.
Because
come up with,
which I'm not. I wouldn't be disappointed, but if they just did like their own story, but it's still like the fantasy realm and stuff like that, it's gonna be like, well, I mean, they've done it before. I mean, yeah, it's their own one, but it's nothing. It's still something we've seen. Like you said, I do want something different. Like, it can still be RPG. It can still be like that. I just hope it's something like the whole scope or like either the setting is just something I didn't think about or something like that. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, Dominic. Next up, we've got, speaking of Marvel games and everything being a Marvel game, Marvel Rivals has been announced by NetEase. And this is basically Overwatch meeting Marvel Universe. It is team-based squad kind of combat / objective.
Is it 3v3?
I think it was actually more than that. Or
I could have sworn I saw somebody say 3 versus 3.
It's 6 versus 6.
Oh, 6 versus 6.
Yeah, 6 versus 6. They got a whole slew of characters, some more popular, some less popular, like Luna Snow. Not totally even sure who that is. Of course, you also have Black Panther, Spider-Man, you know, heavy hitters like that. There's really just the trailer out. There's not a whole lot of details otherwise, but from the trailer, it looks pretty cool. As long as they can kind of stay out of the trouble that Overwatch 2 has gotten in, this could be pretty successful for them.
I mean, what's the trouble? What's the trouble at Overwatch 2?
Really just revamping their whole system and doing away with what people liked in Overwatch 1, it seems like, you know, changing the balancing and team size, you know, and obviously the kind of way they were handling microtransactions, I think, also rubbed people the wrong way. So, yeah, I don't know exactly where Blizzard went wrong with Overwatch outside of releasing Overwatch 2 basically is the same exact game, but with the promise that there would be single player stuff if you get this new one, and then absolutely failing to deliver on that. So I don't know. That is such a weird scenario because Overwatch was so popular for so long, and have Overwatch 2 come out and basically just fall into obscurity almost immediately. I don't know if that's because it was just following the trajectory of where Overwatch 1 was going, and because there wasn't, you know, this grand redesign. Well, I mean, there were some elements redesigned, but like there wasn't an upgrade there. There wasn't a reason to release a
Overwatch 2 is not, it's not a 2.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you really, you didn't do anything.
Yeah.
You didn't do anything. You didn't do anything, call it 2, and then you did things to actually make people not like it.
Yeah.
And
so it almost feels like they shot themselves in the foot by even calling it Overwatch 2. Had they just continued to upgrade Overwatch 1, you know, if that would have maybe breathed a little more life into it if they changed some things. But yeah, so, you know, we'll see if NetEase can pull this off a little more, but it definitely seems like, you know, we do have some other games in the vein of Overwatch. What did we have? Like Paladins. Is that the other like super popular one? That's kind of low key popular. The one that Dunkey kept making fun of. And then, of course, you had your ones that didn't really, you know, work out. But you know, it doesn't seem like, there was the 2K one, in fact, the Gearbox one.
I forgot what that was.
Yeah. But now that we've kind of, the dust has settled and it became kind of the only game, we really haven't seen similar titles like that. So, you know, this could be interesting for them to fill in that slot.
What are they going to go? I wonder what model they go. Are they going free to play? Like Paladins?
I feel like you kind of have to just to, one, get your foot in the door. Because
Overwatch 2 is free to play.
Exactly. Right? So, you know, to even though it might not be as popular as Overwatch 1 was, you're still battling against Overwatch 2 for players that want to play a game like that. So I think you definitely have to follow a similar model unless you can justify giving players a reason to want to pay. And obviously with Marvel, you also get the ability to sell millions of different costume orientations. So like, obviously they can make their money there. So, all right, Dominic, next up, a new leak shows a all digital white Xbox Series X that people are expecting to release in June or July at a price that is cheaper than the current one, somewhere between $50 and $100. I would probably lean more towards $50 because I would also expect them to increase the internal storage of that. Outside of that, it's like, okay, they're doing something, but honestly, I don't know. Maybe they do go $100 cheaper just because they know then they're going to lock you into the ecosystem like we've talked about in the past, because really they need some kind of leg up if they want to stay relevant, I guess. They know they've lost basically. So any way to keep the Xbox name out there and keep people going, oh, okay, there's a new one of these on the shelf. Maybe I should consider it. And if you come in at a significantly lower price, you know, because I think at like $50, you're only about the price of the all digital PlayStation 5. So you would really have to go lower than that, I feel like, to get these things moving. So what do you think, Dominic? Is there anything that at this point would get you to get an Xbox over maybe taking that money and upgrading your PC?
I don't know, man. Yeah, it has to be. It has to be like a significant drop, man. Yeah. Like, this is gotta be like 300 or less.
You gotta be able to get it for free from Verizon, like they were doing for a little bit there or something, right?
Yeah. Or was that the Series S? Yeah, it's gotta be something.
No, that was the X.
Because then I'm just gonna be like, I'll get the handheld PCs, man. Yeah. Just something like that, man. Darn. Yeah.
There's still a lot of talk of people saying that Microsoft, their like end of the year hardware announcement that Phil Spencer kind of teased at that business podcast thing, could be a handheld. But it's like I told you, I don't necessarily want them making a handheld unless they're also going to be sharing whatever software, whatever like handheld version of Windows.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be like devices. Exclusive. Yeah. I don't want to be exclusive to, like, it's just their stuff and, like, proprietary stuff or something like that. Because at that point, no, man. And then it's like, I'll get your thing if somebody can hack it. And I can get other shit up there. It's like, good God. Yeah, I don't want to go through that. I just want something that's make it easy. That's what I'm saying. Like, those handheld PCs, I just want something easy where I can just get everything up there. Like, I know the Steam Deck, I mean, people got workarounds, but I'm hoping that, they do something where it's like, yo, I don't need to just work around.
Let me play Game Pass natively.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only real downside of, like, specifically the Steam Deck, since most of the other handhelds run, like, some form of Windows, like, having Game Pass run natively and that library of games available, since I'm not really purchasing a lot of games, more recently. All right, Dominic. And then we'll jump to this one, really, because it's not much of a story. There's not many details to it. But Grand Theft Auto could be delayed, considering we don't even really have a firm date for that. I don't know that a delay really means anything. I mean, if we're talking like Q1, Q2 to Q3, Q4 of 2025, then that's it doesn't really make much of a difference to me. It sounds like, you know, Rockstar is pushing to get people back in the office like a lot of companies are. I just don't know if that's the way modern game development is should be run. You know, if you already have a building, that's one thing, but like if you're a studio that's like coming up and growing, like why put the resources towards getting this building where people just sit around all day when they could sit around at home all day and do effectively the same thing. And in some ways be less distracted. Like obviously people have things in their own homes that they can be distracted by. And that's what companies are concerned with. But like when you find yourself working in like an office culture, you realize like how much wasted time there is. Like, you know, going to the break room and talking to somebody else and getting lost in a conversation or doing stuff like that. So like, honestly, keeping people separated more, you know, keeps them more focused on what they're doing. So I don't know. These companies and their like aversion to work from home, it feels real silly. You know, if you can have somebody work 8 hours at home because they don't have any travel, or 6 hours of crunch at in their building, like, I wonder what difference it really makes at the end of the day to the game.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that is delayed, like, god darn.
So
yeah, I'm gonna pretend Grand Theft Auto 6 is not a thing until it's out.
Exactly. I mean, that's kind of you know, we saw that trailer, but like, really, who cares until we get
I'm going to just think like, yo, that's a fan made trailer or something, man. Whatever.
Like, I mean, game, enough material leaked out that they maybe could have done that. So.
Yeah.
All right, Dominic. And then the last story I got here, not a huge one, but I think we're going to spin out a conversation from there. Eddie Gordo is coming to Tekken 8 on April 4th, April 1st, if you have early access through kind of the season one season pack or whatever. You know, he's Eddie Gordo. He's doing some flipping capoeira stuff. You know, he's dancing around.
It looks nice. Yeah. Really get that Brazilian feel, man. That little, that fiesta, you know, feel to it. But the thing is, this is funny about it, is that his hair, Eddie, you know, he always has dreads and everything, but this time they chose to use the same dread hairstyle that they seem to use it for a lot of people ever since Killmonger came on screen. Yeah. It's this style where, like, his dreads on, like, basically one side and it kind of combed over side, and the other side of the head is kind of shaved. It's an all right style. I mean, I don't dislike it. I like it. Yeah. I mean, it looks cool. But they have been using it for like black characters a lot lately, and even some non-black characters, but mostly the black characters. I mean, mostly the characters who are dark, with dark skin. And it's the same hairstyle. It might be different colors. Some of them are white. you know, the guy from what's it called? League of Legends. His is white. The black dude. Mm. But
God, I forgot about him too. Yeah, he's got the same hairstyle. Like,
they just use it. I bet you they probably would use the Overwatch guy too if they. If they didn't come up before, I don't know what it is. What is this something that like white people like? Oh, this is a cool hairstyle for all the Negroes. Let me just use this.
They keep
like,
asking for more than two. They don't want the afro anymore.
And, like, the
Prince of
Persia even has that, and yeah. I'm like, what? Even Persian had hair like that. What the hell is this? It's like, it was like hair Persian. It's like, oh man. I see a lot of black people who are into gaming. They have discussed this. They were like, yo, this hairstyle, y'all keep using this. What is going on? And I want somebody to answer the question. Because it's like, this ain't... Here's the thing. You can't say it's like, oh, this is a hairstyle we see all the time. A lot of black people say they have not seen this hairstyle in real life. like in open. Yeah. Personally, I haven't seen that exact style. I have seen people with dreads with, like, they shave their heads, they have the dreads, like, just going back on both sides. Yeah. Not just one side, though. I've never seen that. I mean, I've seen, like, hairstyles with shave, but it's not dreads, though. So I don't know where they see this at. Like, I mean, maybe it's a European thing, but I feel like somebody on the internet... Because would it disprove somebody? Because we all keep saying we don't see it in real life. I'm waiting for somebody, and I was waiting for somebody, those people who are saying, like, oh, I've seen it or something, to put a picture out, like, of somebody. And I'm like, wow, y'all really ain't proving the point. I was like, y'all didn't even do that. Just get one picture, you know? Like, I mean, even if you get a picture, I can just say that's still not normal. This is one guy, but I don't even see that. It's like, dude. What's going on here? Like, what's the deal here? But whatever, man. It's just a little weird. It's a little weird. That's the case. Like, I don't know. And I feel like the normal hairstyle is the cut even around. All you do is got to shape it up. Like, that can't be so hard to do. That doesn't seem like it's very hard to do.
I feel like it is if like that's you what, don't that's what even know what a shape up is, though.
Have.
I think that's what it is.
But think, you've seen it. So it's like, I would think, like,
yeah, but you don't recognize that's like, I don't know. I feel like if you're not hanging around people that would have that style, you don't think about it. You don't go, oh, that's why it looks so much cleaner.
Yeah, well, no, you know what I mean? Yeah, but I feel like if you're a designer, you will.
Yeah,
you will have to think about it.
That's if you're freaking making something. I do wonder how much like a character designer is similar to like a fashion designer, or like what level of aesthetics? Because I guess I kind of lump all game developers in kind of the same boat of like these just kind of generic nerds, where it's like, yeah, if you're a character designer, you do have to have some sense of fashion and style and culture, right?
Yeah, I mean, or at least attempt to look into it,
right?
Like, because here's the thing: I watch behind the scenes of a lot of stuff, like movies and things and games, and I say, like, yeah, for us to understand it, we went to this place we talked to these people. Designers, they observe. They do sketches. So then you're telling me that we didn't do that for black people. You say, what the hell? We just go by what we think in our heads.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that it took so long to even have one different hairstyle, I feel like it does speak volumes.
That's the thing. In the video I'm going to text to you as you watch, that's what the guy just said. Mm-hmm. He was like, we were mad about it before, but now you finally are giving us some hairstyles, but then you just go with another one. That's the same. It's like, you can't. I was like, yo, it's not hard. It's really not that hard. I don't know. It's freaking weird. And for the people who keep saying, like, it's not a big deal, especially white people. I mean, that's what it mostly is. Who are like, they don't understand. Yo, because these are, what you don't understand is that that's something because you don't have a problem with because you have it.
Right.
That's a normal thing for you.
And you still see people complain about like, oh, I was in this character creator and it didn't have, you know, enough hairstyles for me. It's like, yeah, but you had 70 different hairstyles. You didn't have three.
Because I was like, man, I got most of my hairstyles I got picked for this black person is him having a perm, man.
Yeah.
Like, we all freaking Prince. or James Brown or shit, man.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell, yo? Like, that stuff is actually, I mean, for some people, for a lot of people, that's bad for your hair, man. Our hair will fall out. We keep doing that shit.
Yeah.
We can't, a lot of us can't do that. Like, people have gone bald trying to keep on that process and permanent up and stuff, man. Come on, man. It's like, what y'all doing? And it ain't a fro. And don't just be like, oh, you got a fro. I mean, yeah, some people got fros, but come on, man. Let's say, dude. Oh, man. Yeah. But that's it. That's all I got, man.
All right. Any other news before we get at it or get into new releases here, Dominic?
Are there any new releases?
Not that I put on there because I forgot to put them on there. But I've got it.
Okay.
There are some on here. Let's say we are at this week, of course. Yeah, I mean, I guess we had Pepper Grinder that came out on the 28th. That's on PC and Nintendo Switch. I had talked about the demo of that, I believe, last week or 2 weeks ago. I think it's 2 weeks ago now. But we also have South Park Snow Day.
That's right. I did see that.
Yeah.
And I saw pretty bad reviews.
Yeah. I don't know that it ever looked good to me.
Reviews. I'm looking at real Pepper Grinders right now.
I mean, sometimes you got to invest, Dominic. Let's see.
I already got one. It's adequate.
Adequate. Sometimes the chunks are too big. Metacritic has South Park Snow Day at a 61 currently.
No, oh, man.
With a 5.1 user score.
That's a far cry from their last two bit games.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, S game just, it did not look like it was doing it. But yeah, if you haven't maybe visited one of those previous South Park games and you are interested in a South Park game, definitely check one of those out. Did you get any luck with Pepper Grinder reviews?
Yeah, yeah, 79% on Metacritic.
I saw 7 out of 10 on IGN. On, Game Informer.
Oh, okay. And 9 out of 10, well, between Steam reviews are pretty, they're pretty high on it.
Yeah. Seems pretty all right. So maybe worth checking out. All right, Dominic, do you have anything else for the people before we get out of here?
Nah, I'm good.
All right, thank you guys as always for listening. You can check us out on Twitter. Dominic's at DStalworth5. I'm at Regulus MB. Podcast is at superpod.com. Podcast is at Superpod on Twitter, and then superpod.com is the website. You can check us out there. It has links to all the places you can find us, including YouTube, where there's a video version of this podcast, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and, well, not Google Podcasts, whatever, Google, YouTube Music, formerly Google Podcasts, and Spotify.
My free subscription is gone, Daniel. Man, I miss
all those ads now.
I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, listen to them anyway.
God.
Well, they probably want you to watch them, but I don't have my phone.
I mean, that's just the ability to, like, for so many things that I'm watching nowadays, it's mostly just stuff that I'm listening to. The fact that they lock that behind the paywall and, like, make me kill my phone battery instead of just letting me listen to the thing with the screen off.
So dumb. Sucks. I feel like that didn't invest in, like, just audio commercials, like a radio. I just feel like I could have done that.
Yeah, you can still present me ads. I just want to do it with the screen off. I don't know. It's silly. All right, Dominic.
That's what Spotify will do.
Until next time, guys. I'll see you later.
All right, see you.